thousands of truckers out there eastbound and down trying to get you all the supplies you need from the grocery store, the toilet paper, the food, the hand sanitizer, whatever it is. So give your thanks to those truckers, okay? All right, here's the situation. It's not good. I mean,
California Governor Gavin Newsom ordered all 40 million residents to stay at home to slow the coronavirus spread.
And this is not, by the way, just before Newsom did this, the LA Mayor Garcetti issued his own order to Los Angelinos and, you know, stay at home. I mean, I don't know what he was doing. I think he was trying to get ahead of the governor because he's kind of a putz. But Newsom comes out and says, "No, you got to stay home. You can't go out. I mean, 40 million don't go out, except for getting food, getting medicine, going to the hospital, going to the grocery store, and those people who are in critical industries who have to go to work."
We direct a statewide order for people to stay at home. That directive goes into force and effect this evening, and we are confident that the people of the state of California will abide by it.
Well, I guess. I'm not really sure he's right about that, but I guess. Now, why? Well, they came out with some projections. Now, I don't know why these projections were particularly new. We've kind of known this stuff for a few days, that the epidemiologists and the public health forecasters are saying, look, it's infection rate's going to be about 40-50%. So they said, look, we're going to have 25 million Californians who are infected. And then you start figuring the percentage of deaths, and it's pretty high.
Based upon our models, based upon our trend lines, based upon some new information that came in as it relates to those models from John Hopkins and among others, we felt it was appropriate to raise the ante and do what we can to bend that curve. Let me remind you, the numbers we put out today assume that we're just along for the ride. We're not. We want to manipulate those numbers down. That's what this order is all about.
So, okay, get it. If you stay in, maybe the infection rate won't be quite so high. Meantime, the other place that's really bad, mostly because they've been doing a lot of testing, is New York State. It has the highest number of confirmed cases.
We have the testing so high in New York right now that we're testing per capita more than China or South Korea.
That's the governor, Andrew Cuomo. Meantime, the mayor of New York City is like, I don't know, it's sounding a little on the hysterical side.
A lot of people are going to die who don't have to die. That is the blunt truth. And it will start with dozens, and it will go to hundreds, and it will go farther than that. When you talk about this country, the reality today, this minute, Mika, the president does not act within days to maximize the use of the Defense Production Act to put every company that can produce a ventilator or a surgical mask or any other necessary supply, put them on full 24/7 production and guarantee that those products get to the front line, get to where the need is greatest. If he doesn't do that in the next few days, if he does not mobilize the United States military immediately, not only will hundreds die around the nation who didn't need to die, thousands will die around the nation who didn't need to die. People who will die waiting to get into a hospital, people who will die at a hospital because there is no equipment or there's no medical personnel who can help them in time.
What's the watchword here? Die. New York does have 40% of the U.S. cases so far.
And I'm sounding the alarm. If the president would just act, mobilize the military, and maximize the use of the Defense Production Act, there's still time to save us and a lot of other people around the country. But it needs to happen now.
Now, I don't know that the president isn't doing that. I mean, de Blasio, you know, de Blasio is a communist. He wants to nationalize everything, nationalize all these industries. Tell the auto workers, okay, you got to build ventilators now. Now, you know, as a matter of fact, Detroit is saying we can do that, you know, and they're asking the president for an order. Maybe he'll give it. I'm really not sure. But there is an order going out from the U.S. State Department to Americans that do not travel abroad. Do not. And if you are out of the country, come back as quick as you can.
This is an advisory, but it is the highest level that the U.S. State Department can issue to Americans considering traveling abroad. It is telling them, do not travel.
Do not travel. Do not go anywhere. And, you know, it's probably a good idea. I mean, Italy now has more cases and deaths than China did. And, you know, I must put a proviso on that. We're not sure that China is ever telling us the truth. But according to what they are saying, the situation has gotten to be that bad. And, you know, at this point, there's a lot of blame, a lot of finger pointing, a lot of saying, oh, you know whose fault this is? It's Trump and Fox's fault.
And Fox now takes the pandemic seriously. That is a very sudden switch for Fox, where one Fox host said that the coronavirus hoax, as the president called it, was just the latest attempt by the Democrats to impeach Donald Trump. The sudden switch to taking the pandemic seriously at Fox proves that Fox was lying about it deliberately for weeks and weeks. And when they were doing that, every single day they were doing that, they were endangering millions of people's lives.
Yeah, you just pay attention to what we say over here. He's talking about Trish Regan, and she got suspended from Fox for saying that. But, he, you know, typical Lawrence O'Donnell and MSNBC completely overstate the case. It's still, you know, big sort of controversy about Trump insisting on calling it the China virus, as opposed to coronavirus or, you know, any other kind of description of what the illness is. But he's sticking to his guns. I mean, and the reason is that he knows that China is trying to palm the blame off on somebody else. And he's really kind of ticked. Now, this was one American news network, OAN, had a little reporter in the White House press room and asked this really dopey question. It was just kind of a setup for Trump to tee off. But he is right that the media in this country is siding with the Chinese propaganda machine.
They are siding with China. They are doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They're siding with many others. China's the least of it. So why they're doing this, you'll have to ask them.
Well, and they are doing it. I mean, this is John Heilman on MSNBC, you know, just kind of in the course of asking a question, plain ass stating his opinion.
The president says, no, this is not racist at all, when, of course, it's nakedly racist and obviously racist and blatantly racist.
Racist, 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 racist. Tom Friedman, that globalist at the New York Times, we shouldn't be getting in a Cold War with China. I would just point out, before I play this for you, that the president reacting to what the Chinese are doing. The Chinese are trying to dodge the blame for this. I mean, they've shut down the world economy. They're going to kill thousands and thousands and thousands of people because they tried to hide it. And Friedman thinks, well, you know, yeah, but you can't really get in a piss off with them.
This is not the time for a U.S.-China Cold War. I can't think of anything more reckless. China is a source of capital. that we're going to need when we want to grow out of this. It's a source of manufacturing prowess. These people could put up a hospital in a week. Mm-hmm. We may, as their crisis winds down, we may need to draw on that. Really, both the president of China and the president of the United States now, because they both feel guilty about, I think, acting too slowly early on, have found the perfect enemy to deflect, you know, their guilt, and it's on each other.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, the Chinese started this, trying to blame this on American soldiers who went to Wuhan. American soldiers who happened to be in Wuhan, and I don't know why they would have been there anyway, they were not eating bat soup. They were not eating dogs. They were not engaging in behaviors in which animal viruses transfer to humans. That was not what was going on. In terms of interventions, there's a couple of medicines that one was a new one, a prospective one that's just developed, and one is an old one that's been around for a long time to treat something else, and they're showing success. And, you know, one of the things that all the TV networks are doing is taking questions from viewers and having people like Fauci answer them.
Since we now have people who have recovered from the coronavirus, is it possible to develop some sort of treatment using the antibodies that they developed as a response to the disease? Didn't they do something along those lines with Ebola?
Good question, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Very good question. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what we're doing. We're gearing up for a study of both convalescent serum, which is a big word to say, taking the serum from someone who's completely recovered, getting it in a way that you can reinfuse it in somebody else, or getting out the proteins, the gamma globulin, the antibodies from that serum, and use it as a way of both treatment and possibly prophylaxis, but mostly treatment. Very good question. It's one of our top priorities.
Okay. Now, one other thing that has happened is there are now four senators named. I can only think of three of them, but it's Richard Burr of North Carolina, Kelly Loeffler of Georgia. She was just appointed to the Senate. Dianne Feinstein of California. One other, I forget, who we now know dumped stock after getting a briefing, which was not provided to the public, on how bad this could be some weeks ago.
He had inside information about what could happen to our country, which is now happening, but he didn't warn the public. He didn't give a primetime address. He didn't go on television to sound the alarm. Instead, what did he do? He dumped his shares in hotel stocks so he wouldn't lose money, and then he stayed silent. Now, maybe there's an honest explanation for what he did. If there is, he should share it with the rest of us immediately. Otherwise, he must resign from the Senate and face prosecution for insider trading.
That's Tucker talking about Richard Burr, the senator from North Carolina. Dianne Feinstein also did the same thing, except her office issued a statement that the senator is not involved in the business dealings of her husband. This is one of the most long-standing bullshit lines from Dianne Feinstein that goes back decades. Her husband, Richard Bloom, when she was mayor of San Francisco and then when she ascended to the Senate, has been, you know, learning things through her and maximizing his business endeavors and amassing hundreds of millions of dollars. She's worth $300-400 million to her husband, Dick Bloom. And it's just been, this has been the story all along. I don't know what my husband's business dealings are. Really? Okay. Do you discuss with him what you have learned in your Senate office? Do you even mention it once in a while? Does he ask you questions about what your day's business was? Do you answer those questions? This is a total crapola line from Dianne Feinstein that's been going on for years. She's not the only one. She certainly isn't the only one, but the idea that she has amassed and her husband has amassed all that wealth without some part of it coming from her inside information is just absurd. And, you know, once again, we're getting this, she doesn't really know what he's doing. I think we've just kind of heard enough of that for a long time. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, Joe Biden was the only poor senator in the Senate. The rest of them are filthy rich. And they don't ever seem to lose money when they go into the Senate. It's something that has ticked me off for years, and this is just the latest iteration of it. And Tucker is right. Richard Burr apparently just blatantly heard in a briefing how bad this was going to get, turned around and dumped $1.6 million worth of stock in hotels, so he didn't lose money when hotel stock went through the floor, which it's doing right now. And he's a Republican, and Dianne Feinstein's a Democrat. This isn't exclusive to one party or another, but Tucker's right. He either has to explain what happened here. And Kelly Loeffler, she said, oh, my investments are handled by my people, and they don't involve me in it. They just do it. Well, that's a load of crap. And they all should be nailed for it. We're probably going to be a little short today because the only thing that's worth a crap in the news is this virus stuff. So let me go over a few of these stories. I already told you 40 million people in California have been ordered to stay at home. New York has 40% of U.S. cases. Washington Post reporting that it's killing more men than women. Wall Street Journal says this bailout that's going to go to individuals, it would be $1,200 checks per person and $500 per child. That's a proposal. New York Post reporting the first sign you might have it, assuming you don't have a test, first sign you might have it is digestive problems. In other words, you get the runs. Washington Post, New York orders hair salons, barbershops closed. This is one of the reasons I don't have a haircut, which I badly need. I'm going to have a ponytail pretty soon for the first time in my life because I don't want to go sit in a chair and, you know, have some hair person breathe in my face and I don't know where they've been. The Washington Post is the one that got the picture of Trump's notes at the podium where he crossed out Corona and wrote in Chinese over, you know, Chinese virus. New York Post, parents are freaking out over having their kids at home all the time. Washington Post, interesting story. They assign a story to an Asian reporter who interviews Asian experts, and they all come to the conclusion that Trump is a racist and dangerous for calling this a Chinese virus. Burr and DiFi, I told you about that. New York Times, finally coming around saying, you know what, young people, you're really not off the hook with this thing. You are getting it. And by the way, I interviewed some of the young people who got it. They don't like it one bit. It's high fevers, terrible shooting pains in their back and joints, and, you know, it's pretty damn ugly. New York Times, open borders, Europe has it worse than China. Washington Post, pandemic deniers are being targeted for abuse. Washington Post, Dow expected to jump about 450 today. And, of course, the story yesterday that Khalil talked about, the virus has killed Playboy. Well, Playboy is pretty much going to die anyway, but, it's just... They finally decided, well, they've been losing about $5 million a month. And they decided, you know, we're done with this. We're done with this print edition. It's just over. In terms of the Mail, I got this one really interesting. This is from, let's see, who's this from? Bob. Among the many things that piss me off these days are the New York Times, quote, breaking news email headlines and subheads. A few days ago, the latest Italy virus death toll was staggering, quote, staggering. Yesterday, U.S. stocks, quote, cratered. Today, the death toll, quote, soared. They're just loving every minute of it. Also, the Facebook, Twitter, look at me, we're all in this together, virtue signalers who tell of their heroic efforts to keep a social distance. One guy in my area, Southern Oregon, who describes himself as metered and analytical, told how he made his 16-year-old daughter quit her job training young gymnasts and how they withdrew an invitation to Bay Area friends to visit, even though the invited friends had already purchased plane tickets. He's isolated, quoting, isolated his family. These, of course, are the same people that want an open southern border. Well, I think that's probably all true. Daniel Wright writes me, I took care of the missing music. Oh, this is yesterday when Zencastr failed me. I had to do a bare bones podcast with no music, no sound bites. So, you know, after I was done with the damn thing, Zencastr sent me a note saying, oh, we figured it out. It's fixed now. And it is fixed. But Jesus, I pay for that service. And it, you know, 1 minute is just fucked. I spend the whole day trying to screw around with it. And they say, oh, sorry for the inconvenience. John, this is from Dan. I took care of the missing music by immediately after the show going on YouTube to listen to the Pointer Sisters Jump for Ruth's birthday. Yeah, that's good. Okay, let's see what we've got here. This.
Hey, old John, it's me.
Man, there's so much shit in the news.
Yes, yeah, time for Khalil and his 4 minutes of funk. He's out there driving that truck trying to get you some toilet paper, man.
That's right. Hey, old John. Welcome, everybody, to Khalil's 4 minutes of funk. I'm getting right down to it. We got Mitt Romney was the first person that turned around and wanted to give out a whole bunch of money to the American people so that they could, get over this opportunity, over the hump here with the coronavirus. Well, Mitt Romney, you big bitch, you just trying to get people to get back on your goods. You're trying to get back on the good side of people and trying to get people to forget about how you wanted to do the impeachment of Trump. Fuck you. Ain't nobody thinking about you. Yeah, next thing we got, man, oh man, my homeboy, Richard Burr, and some woman from Georgia, Kelly something, two senators, they realized that the market was going to tank. They sold all their stocks, and now everybody want to get mad. What, you want to get mad because two motherfuckers from the South outsmarted all you damn city slickers? That's all it is, man. They mad because that boy got that damn thing right and went on out there and got his money. Don't hate the player. Hate the game, people. Richard Burr, big ups, buddy. Get your money, bitch. Tell them, all of them, kiss your ass. You got your money. You want to put me out? I got my money. Fuck y'all. And what else we got here? Oh, yeah. The Kung Fu flu. China. You dirty bunch of motherfuckers, you. Not the American Chinese. The motherfucking Chinese. Y'all sit up there and put everybody ass at risk because you want to save face. What type of dumb fucking honor is that? What type of stupid shit is that, man? You haven't saved any face. If anything, you are more with disgrace by being a punk and not telling the truth about this shit. Honor is being able to tell the truth even when you're at fault. You stupid motherfucker. So don't come and try to hit off and try to blame that shit on us. Because the fact is, if they were going to turn around and hit y'all off with some chemical or biological warfare, trust me, all you motherfuckers would be dead right now. I tell you, this is going to be one thing we're going to have to learn. Wash your hands, wash your ass, get some nitrile gloves, wear the gloves, don't touch your face, don't put your hands in your mouth, and we're going, and this is all going to be good. But this shit is going to require people to start doing some things they normally wasn't doing, like being responsible. How about that? That's some shit, ain't it, John? Hey, yo, John. Look here, Snowman. Everybody, I got a couple people asking me about the Snowman. Should I tell them about your CIA background? I don't know. Better let that one alone. All right, that was 4 minutes of funk with Khalil. Holla at you, boy. I'm gone.
Okay. 4 minutes of funk with Khalil. So there were some other calls to the bitch box. I mean, Khalil isn't really a bitch box caller anymore. He's a regular feature of the program. But there were some others to 859-544-2766.
Hey, John, it's Danny Salad. Got a good one for you, okay? So last night, having dinner, my buddy calls from Pennsylvania. He and I have a small business in that state, one we run. And he says the governor is going to shut down all non-life essential businesses. Now, right away, a life essential business, by my definition, would be hospitals, doctors, dialysis centers, things of that nature, okay? So he sends me the article, and I read through it, boom and boom. And then there's a link, okay? And the link lists all the businesses that can stay open and all the businesses that must close by sector. And so I start scrolling down, and I thought we were going to be in good shape because we support transportation functions. And so, yes, so sure enough, businesses that are in support of transportation functions can stay open. So we're good. Thank God we're good. But then I notice a little further down the list that a business that is declared life essential, beer, wine, liquor, retail outlets.
Yeah, so.
And I'm thinking, what the fuck? When did that become a life essential business?
Well, it is here.
And then my buddy told me that they are owned by the state of Pennsylvania.
Well, that's true.
So it all comes together. They make a ton of money off of these places.
Yeah.
And I guess it's good to know that a life essential business is declared and defined by anything that brings the state of Pennsylvania a bunch of cash. Anyway, how serious can we take this thing when that is the position of our government or government of a state? Talk to you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
Okay, now, see, I have a quibble with that, and that is that because I read the other day that Virginia was going to shut down liquor stores. Virginia are also state-owned liquor stores. I think that that's wrong. If the state has a monopoly on liquor stores, the state has an obligation to keep them open. It's not an option that the state can say, we're closing our liquor stores when they don't allow anybody else to sell liquor. And so I would think Pennsylvania actually made the right decision leaving the state open, state-owned liquor stores open, because otherwise, what were people in Pennsylvania supposed to do? You stay home and not have a beer? Stay home and not have a drink? Stay home and not have wine because the state decided, oh, we're going to close. We don't want our workers exposed to the dirty, filthy coronavirus-carrying public, so we're going to close the stores. No, put your damn mask on and your rubber gloves and go to work. You know, sell that stuff. Fortunately, I'm in Texas, and that isn't how it works here. Also got a call from Chrissy, our favorite Chrissy.
Hey, John, it's Chrissy from Chapel Hill. I wanted to let you know that my husband was at an event in Boston a week or two ago where he was exposed to the virus. He has all the symptoms, including a low-grade fever, but not a high-grade fever. His doctor said that he needed to go in for testing. This morning he went to the testing site at UNC and was told he didn't qualify for testing and they sent him home. Bit perplexed as to why a doctor wants you to be tested and they send you away, and also perplexed as to why so many daggone celebrities are saying they tested positive with zero symptoms. So really irritated when he complained about it to the company that called him to go in for the testing. They said, you need to contact your doctor. And all he said was, I hope that you can get this higher up, because if you had a questionnaire, I wouldn't have to come in if you were going to refuse to test me. So anyway, thought you would be interested to know that. Here in Chapel Hill, we are on state lockdown. No bars, no restaurants. My store has been closed for over a week now. Hope we get through this. It's a big hot mess, as all you guys know. Take care and stay safe.
Christy, yeah. I wish you'd give us an update on her daughter, because Khalil's always talking about her daughter Gracie had some kind of problem and was in the hospital, but a real friend of this show. Okay, it's birthday time. I played a little bit of this in the bumper for Khalil's 4 minutes of funk, but it's Jerry Reed's birthday. Born in 1937, died in 2008. You can do the math. That's 71. He died of emphysema, so I'm assuming he was a big smoker. But I always loved this song.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. He's kind of like a bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind him breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go. Short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run. They can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run. Old Smokey's got them ears on. He's hot on your trail. He ain't gonna rest till you're in jail. So you got to dodge him, you got to duck him. You gotta keep that diesel trucking. Just put that hammer down and give it hell. Eastbound to die. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.
Yeah, old Jerry Reed. There's some picking in that song, isn't there? Man, I love that. I pulled the middle out of it for a nice bed. You're going to hear a lot of that. I love that. Listen to this guy go. Jerry Reed's birthday. Died in 2008, but he was a good one. Go to johngibson.com and get your friends to subscribe. Do it yourself. Today's a free day. This is your opportunity to subscribe. Follow me on Twitter at Gibson Radio. Of course, check out the Facebook page, John Gibson Radio. And give me a call at 859-544-2766 and write me at host@johngibson.com.